A new survey, a sample of over 2,000 older adults aged 50 to 80, found that 12% said they'd consumed a product containing THC within the past year, and 4% reported doing so multiple times per week. So you got a lot of boomers out there using marijuana. 1 in 8 older Americans now using marijuana. And, of course, those numbers are way up. So why? Is this just because the seniors of today were the generation that first grew up with marijuana, maybe reliving some of the old days of when they were young? Or maybe they take it for pain. The older group was always kind of the laggards in terms of the polling when it came to legalizing marijuana. But now even those numbers are up, and the numbers of seniors using marijuana are up, as I just mentioned. So to get a perspective on this, we've invited Jerry J-Man Joyner, the host of Weed and Whiskey, which is a TV show and podcast that Mr. Joyner hosts. J-Man, how are you today?
If I was doing any better, Dave, I'd need a twin brother.
Man, I tell you what, you sound like you're doing great. What is this a TV show? What is it on a? It's not on a cable. Well, they don't have cable access, I guess, anymore. But this is a television show and a podcast you do called Weed and Whiskey. Where does it air? I guess the podcast I can get anywhere. Does the TV show air in your local market?
It airs on Roku.
Roku.
We're on on Roku. Weed and Whiskey TV is a network. We've got some shows, and we have a weekly show called Weed and Whiskey News that's on Spotify, YouTube, on our own website, and on Roku.
I got it. Okay. So why do you think so many seniors are smoking pot? Again, maybe they did when they were young, but they gave it up when they started having kids. And of course, there was always, you could get arrested for using marijuana, not that many years ago. So, but why do you think they're returning to it now? Is it to relieve pain or relive part of their youth?
Most of the seniors that I speak with, Dave, say their reason for using cannabis or a cannabis product is for sleep, helps them go to sleep. And I think the misnomer, I don't think these seniors are all out there on the porch with a bong doing some rips. I think they're eating gummies and drinking weed.
Drinking weed? You mean a cannabis-infused beverage?
Yeah, THC-infused seltzer. I couldn't keep it lit, so I didn't like it as much. I'm an old-school guy, so I smoke joints. But that's what's happening. These seniors aren't smoking cannabis when we think of a joint or a bong. They're taking gummies. They're doing these low-dose tinctures. They're doing these low-dose beverages. They're doing edibles. Some of them are smoking. Some of them are vaping. But most of them are doing gummies.
All right. So obviously you are pro-cannabis, but have any of your listeners or viewers shared a concern with you, or have you seen some of the studies? First of all, the marijuana is stronger. You're talking about an older population that's probably taking other medications, and maybe we don't know what cannabis use, what kind of interaction it has with those medications. Some seniors shouldn't be driving, or at least their driving is risky, and it's going to be even riskier if they have ingested some sort of a cannabis product. Are those realistic fears in your view, Jerry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't want anybody out on the roads impaired, whether it be from THC, marijuana, cannabis, pot, booze, Xanax, Adderall, any kind of substance that makes them not be coherent when they're out driving around, or especially our pilots and our truck drivers and all those folks. And I think that's why these seniors, I'll give you a great example. My mother-in-law is 75 years old, and she's had back pain for a long time, and she has to take a hydrocodone to go to sleep at night. We gave her some Buck-a-Buzz gummies, the 10 milligram Delta-9 gummies, and she ate a half of one of those, had the same effect she got from the hydrocodone. Mm-hmm. Back didn't hurt. So we saw a shift from that. My 85-year-old mother rubs a THC cream on her foot. Now, she doesn't get high from that. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law, she didn't really get high. There wasn't enough THC in that low-dose gummy to give her that psychotropic euphoric effect, but it was just enough where her endocannabinoid system was able to relax and allow her to get a good night of sleep. I think that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. I mean, I'd rather look, if cannabis can help you sleep or cannabis can help with your pain, I'd much rather be taking that than some sort of hydrocortone pill or something along that line. I agree with you. Rather than take some narcotic, I'd just as soon use cannabis. I believe it is safer than some of those stronger drugs, if I'm trying to relieve pain.
Got a lot of white papers showing us now that our veterans, the people that provide our freedom in America, let me have a show called Weed and Whiskey TV that 100,000 people engage with us on. They're getting tremendous help from stress, from PTSD, from depression, and from pain. So there's the mental aspects along with the physical aspects with using it properly with common sense. People are getting good results from this.
Yeah, but that's
from doing THC.
That's the key, though. I mean, you got to use it with common sense. You also, in the studies that I've seen, there's a suggestion that older adults that report high levels of alcohol use also had higher rates of cannabis use as well. I mean, you can go too far in trying to ingest certain substances to relieve your pain. Agreed?
You certainly can. And you know, using common sense, which I think something everybody should get a prescription for in today's time, and go get a good dose of that, you know.
Yeah.
Here's what I found interesting, Dave. In four states, California, Nevada, Massachusetts, and Maine, they saw a decrease in health insurance premiums that they directly attributed to having adult use cannabis and medical cannabis available in their states for people of legal age. The reason? They were using less opioids. In other words, the prescriptions went down, caused the premiums to go down, and it said that people were using cannabis. I thought that was a pretty good study right there.
That is good. Is there a stigma, a negative stigma that's attached when seniors use cannabis? The seniors you talk to that use it, whether they use it to help them sleep, whether they just want to get high once in a while, or maybe they're trying to relieve some pain, do they hide it? Are they particularly concerned about, I can't let my kids know I do this, or I can't let my friends know I do this?
Well, you know, that's a problem that I dealt with, Dave. I'll be 64 on April the 20th. 420 is my actual birthday.
Oh, my God. You were born to be the J-Man.
Born to be the J-Man. For 44 years, I was a closeted cannabis user. I had a high-profile corporate job. I didn't want anybody to know that on a daily basis I used cannabis. Mm-hmm. And ironically, once I became open about it, I got a fledgling TV network now. So the stigma's changed. 70% of Americans think that adult use cannabis should be legal. And when have we had 70% of Americans agreeing on anything?
Yeah, I mean, that number has continued to grow. And, of course, you've seen it spread now to where what? Ohio just became the 24th state back in November. They voted on a 57% of the vote in the affirmative. Issue 2 on the ballot to allow for recreational marijuana. Now, it's set to become law on Thursday. In the meantime, the legislature up there, a lot of members of that legislature weren't crazy about the cannabis being legalized in Ohio, and they may be changing some of this legislation, disallowing you to be able to grow it at home, raising the tax rate on it. That kind of defeats the purpose if states get too greedy, doesn't it? If you want to shut down the black market, just raise the taxes too high, and cannabis buyers will continue to buy it off the black market. Would you think, Jerry, I mean, is there a case to be made that if you're going to smoke marijuana, it's much safer to buy it from a dispensary as opposed to some street vendor?
Absolutely. I think that the consistency of what you're getting, especially with people in today's time trying these things, you need to have something that has a COA, a certificate of analysis. You know, there in Kentucky, you can go to convenience stores and you can get Delta 8 and Delta 9 THC products legally that will get you high and make you test positive for a drug test. And some of those things are not – J-Man would not approve those because I think they come from overseas. They put bad chemicals, put hard metals. But some of them are my friend Antonio Suad, the guy that started Wingstop. He's now in this business, and his goal is to make sure if somebody has one of his gummies, it's a real safe, there's a trail of evidence of where it came from, how it was manufactured, what's in there. And so people need to be cautious, and you need to be cautious if your friend says, hey, I made some gummies or I made some brownies or cookies. You know, with all the best intentions, you don't know what that dosage may be. We've all seen that movie Casino where the blueberry muffin was full of blueberries and the other muffin didn't have any, right? Well, that could happen when somebody's taking that themselves.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, with fentanyl getting snuck into some of this stuff, you don't know what's out there. So you got to be a bit more careful about what you're getting. Do you when they legalized industrial hemp, And, of course, here in Kentucky, of course, there was a big hemp boom, but I think that boom has somewhat subsided. And I think one of the reasons that has subsided is because CBD products have never been blessed by the FDA, and you never got a big consumer healthcare company to promote it. There was no Johnson & Johnson CBD. Is that what you do? You see that in the future, Jerry? Do you see a big company like a Johnson & Johnson, or maybe a Pfizer, or you know, name any of these even over the counter companies that have these kinds of health aids that they sell? Is the day coming when maybe some big players start to get into the cannabis business?
Oh, there's a bunch of big players they're waiting on that federal legalization or descheduling. And I think that we will see big pharma try to get in this as heavy as anybody. It's something that you mentioned Ohio. Mm-hmm. 56% of the voters chose to say yes for issue two about legalizing adult use based on the parameters, only for Governor DeWine and his cronies to come in and say, okay, the people spoke, they want legal marijuana, but we're gonna hack these the rules up. Like you said, you can't grow at home now. You can only have a certain amount. They changed how much the tax was going to be. And I'm like, well, that's not fair to the people. In Kentucky, I think y'all are still waiting for 2025 to be able to medically buy cannabis. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, they passed medical cannabis, but because I guess of the regulatory infrastructure that has to be built around it in order to comply with the law. That's right. It's not. It's still going to be another year. January 2025 is when it won't be available until then. Meanwhile, the governor is allowing, if you want to go to a state like Illinois, where you can buy it and bring it back, if you've got there's some allowance now for being able to bring back marijuana from some other state if you have some medicinal reason for it, if a doctor has prescribed it for you or something.
And you'd have to, for it to be legal, you'd have to have a Kentucky medical marijuana card.
Yes, you would. Yeah, you'll have to have a card, and then you go to another state and get it. Because
Kentucky's kind of like Texas. Dave, Kentucky's kind of like Texas down here. You know, to get that medical marijuana card, you might have to give up your gun ownership, and that doesn't go over well.
That's a federal, that's a federal thing. That's right. That is a federal thing. That also now, if you deschedule it, you take it off of Schedule One status, then I guess that goes away, doesn't it? That if you admit marijuana use, you can still get a gun, because now you can't. You're right. You admit marijuana use, and you're going to get declined on your application to be able to buy a firearm. Let me ask you one other thing. Doesn't have anything to do with cannabis, but it came up earlier on the show, and I had a question about it, Jerry. Are you able to define Texas music? What is Texas music?
Willie Nelson. Red Dirt Willie Nelson. You know, Willie Nelson. Our weed and whiskey manifested in Willie Nelson's backyard down in right outside of Austin, and so we're awful partial to old Willie. And, you know, because we're talking about seniors, you know, Willie will be 91 years old this coming April. And he doesn't smoke very much anymore, but he does do gummies. He does do edibles. And he attributes his marijuana use to keeping him off of hard drugs, which I thought was kind of interesting. And another study I just read that said in states where it's legal, where they thought teen use would just explode, it actually went down. When they made it legal, the kids didn't seem to want it as much before they became an adult. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, because not as risky. Jerry, I enjoyed talking to you, and I appreciate the time this afternoon. Thank you very much. I tend to agree with you. Probably there are a lot of seniors that are smoking pot to help them sleep. I hope we can talk again. I appreciate it. I'll check out your show.
Dave, I sure appreciate it. Call me anytime.
Jerry the J-Man Joiner. Thanks, Jerry. Host of Weed and Whiskey.